and I don't think that's a sin, but I could be wrong. Out where the stars are all backlit, impatient as I sit, 'cause you take too long.
Was the song Stray Season from singer-songwriter Will Whalen. Will is visiting us today from Grand Junction. Welcome to Talkin' Music, Will.
Great to be here.
Are you from Grand Junction originally?
Originally, I'm from a town called Brooksville, Florida. And if you don't know where that is, you're not alone. it's kind of the middle of nowhere in Florida. It's about an hour north of Tampa. And I actually, on my last CD, I wrote a song called Brooksville, Florida about my hometown.
Okay.
I moved here in 2008.
And so you went to Mesa?
Yes.
Is that where you went? And you studied writing?
Yes.
Were you going to be a writer of something other than songs? Were you thinking of going in a different direction with writing or?
Well, the reason that I wound up with a writing degree in the first place was because I went into college with the idea that I was just going to take whatever courses interested me.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I started noticing that I was picking a lot of writing classes, and so that was obviously what I was interested in, and eventually I changed my major to it, and by the end of my college career, I was making, independent study programs for myself to finish out my credits, involving comparing poetry and song lyrics and trying to parlay it into what I wanted to do with music, so I tried to integrate a lot of that college experience with the music experience towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
From a very young age, I've always wanted to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And songwriting adds a layer to that, that there's inflection and notes and composition that you can't get across in language writing. So they really work together well.
You seem really focused on your music career, and you're doing a lot of shows, it
yes.
seems. Yeah, you're really getting out there. And you seem like you're coming up with new stuff all the time, like you're going to be releasing a song every month. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it out there.
Ideally.
What is your sort of ultimate goal for all of this? What would you like to...
My goal is to have a career that is sustainable, to have the opportunity to explore the things that interest me in the music industry, and this, and it's rapidly changing. That's what I find really fascinating, is that there are just so many new options and opportunities. A lot of people say the music industry is dying, but it's not true. I haven't seen anything to support that. It's changing, and it's unrecognizable to some people who have gotten used to the old model. But for instance, a lot of people say that the album is kind of over with, that we're in a singles market now. And that's why I'm doing the constant release of, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks trying to release a new single. But at the same time, I'm planning on doing a promotional campaign using all of these albums that I collected over the last 10 to 15 years. I took all of these album covers from, you know, big popular artists, people I look up to, people who have inspired me, and I turned it into a 6-foot by 25-foot mural in my office. And so it's all this patchwork collage.
Oh, cool.
Of these artists that I've respected and learned from over the years. And, of course, tried to emulate. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to issue an online challenge to see if people can name all of the artists. And there will be cash prizes for each round. I'm still working out the specifics. But being able to use these different mediums to their best strength is what I find interesting about the music industry. I feel like it integrates all of these different mediums that mm-hmm. I can play around with to my heart's content.
Mm, fun. Yeah, it seems like you're just using a lot of creativity, not just in creating the music, but marketing it and putting yourself out there.
Definitely.
Sure. I read a post or a poster that you had for one of your shows where you described yourself as an indie singer-songwriter in the tradition of Jack White, Andrew Bird, and James Mercer.
Yes.
And those are very different artists. And yes, I can hear their different styles in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But tell me why those artists, and why do you like them?
Well, I'd say when I started out, I definitely emulated Jack White the most. I still have the hair. he's not using it anymore, so I'm gonna take over. He's got the pompadour thing going on now. But, you know, yeah, he had just this amazing lyrical influence and this ability to write precise, heartfelt, cut you right to the bone kind of lyrics. I mean, in some of the tracks that didn't get as much publicity, let's see, Little Cream Soda and Medicine and all of these great, just sharp one-liners. And I really admire that kind of songwriting, both from Jack White and Josh Homme, which is how I hear it, his name's pronounced now, from Queens of the Stone Age and, mm-hmm. and Them Crooked Vultures. The songwriting is just amazing on his part. So that's the Jack White influence. And also, you know, of course, anything in the White Stripes catalog has this raw emotional quality that I love. Let's see, Andrew Bird and James Mercer have this kind of smoother quality to what they do. And I especially like the fact that James Mercer has done The Shins and he's done The Broken Bells, and he's got this wide range of different influences, and that what I hear coming out in his music is that it's okay to write all sorts of different songs, and you don't have to qualify yourself as I'm a country artist or I'm a rock artist or I'm a this or I'm a that, and really pigeonhole yourself like that anymore. It's not required of artists to come up with a one word description of what they do, and I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a chance to interview Andrew Bird, and I remember afterwards a friend of mine was like, he seems like stuck up to me or something. Like, you know, she just thought he was too, he wasn't accessible somehow to her. And I said, he's just sort of like an Ivy League musician, you know, but he's very different. Nobody does mm-hmm. what he does. He's mixing a lot of different, there's a lot of things going on with his music that
right.
I found him to be very impressive.
Oh, and I admire both of those qualities, both his, you know, somewhat inaccessible quality. I like the idea that he seems very focused on the technicality and proficiency and virtuosity of what he's doing, and I very much admire that.
So let's hear another song from you. Why don't we play something off your EP called Cross Your Fingers?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. Can you tell us anything about that song?
I wrote the song back in 2014 as an end to the album, and it was actually kind of inspired by what's very much an argument now, and it's going on very loudly in the election, about kind of having trouble getting ahead, feeling like you were in sort of a economically, financially, you know, what have you, impossible situation to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
It was largely inspired whenever I saw there was the Ferguson riots, and what happened in Ferguson was really it struck me. It was something that was not just, there wasn't just a racial component, there was an economic component to understanding how it feels to be in this nearly impossible to get out of systemic situation.
Another double shift and I'm standing in a store. I'm lucky to have a job. I'm scared to ask for more. I've got enough to pay the rent or keep my health. Someday I'll be rich. At least that's what I tell myself. It's not what I had planned, but they warned me it's a lonely road when fools take a stand. Panic yells abandon hope. My right hand's full of fishing line, my left a ballot and the low. And anytime we ask for enough to eat, they call it an act of war and warn to keep your goddamn children off the street. We are hurt and hungry, we are locked up and lost, but we keep our fingers crossed. The spokesman on the screen decrees that if you want the dream, this is what it costs. While he keeps his fingers crossed. Everything I own, my house, my car, this here guitar, and the minutes on my phone. I stay inside, 'cause I've seen them justify the easy ways you end my life. I ride suits with focus groups, they tailor make my knees, while angels hipsters learn to love what they can get. If it's clever and it's cheap, and I could never bring myself to say that the swift blind hand of justice rules, or that it hasn't always been this way. We are hurt and hungry, we are locked up and lost, but we keep our fingers crossed. The spokesman on the screen decrees that if you want the dream, this is what it costs. While he keeps his fingers crossed.
And that was Will Whalen with the song Cross Your Fingers. So I was looking on your Facebook, and actually I use Facebook a lot more these days to find out who somebody is, because it's not just about their music and their gigs and whatever. You really learn a lot from people
totally.
From their Facebook posts.
Definitely.
And I could tell you were a writer.
thank you.
So you had this quote from Oscar Wilde, and the quote is, "There are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what one wants. The other is getting it."
Mm-hmm.
And you said you worry about them both.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think every artist and every musician and every artist probably has this idea of where they want to be with their career and with their art and how they want to be seen. The entire point of art, or at least a lot of the point of art, is for me communication and being understood. I sing and I play my songs to get my point across, both emotionally and intellectually, and trying to make that work. So there's a certain fear of being understood, I guess. If you're successful, then people can see you in this sort of disarmed, somewhat naked way. I mean, if you pinpoint yourself as your personality and who you are, and it's communicated clearly, sometimes that can be just as frightening as being completely misunderstood and not getting your point across. I think there's plenty of fear to go around.
So. That's true. My favorite artists, what they do well is they do some stuff that they might have to apologize for later.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's coming from a really truthful place. And that's the part that makes it human. And that's not just music. That's like comedians and actors.
Absolutely.
And any kind of art where you're like, okay, that was a little messy and maybe uncomfortable, possibly
Absolutely.
Offensive in some areas.
And especially comedians.
Yeah.
You know, comedians
yeah.
definitely need to push that envelope. And I try to add some comedy and some levity into my shows. I mean, I'm not a stand-up comedian or a comedy music player by any means, but definitely try to add that element in. And definitely the potentially offensive angle is a result of you're coming from an emotional place, not a logical place. And we've all learned pretty well that we should treat each other with respect and be, kind to one another and all of these things that are very societally accepted. But if you go to an emotional place, you necessarily have to pull that filter back. And sometimes the things that come out are offensive to some, or like I said, misunderstood. That's a big potential downfall of all that. It's always that hope that you can get past that level of just this personal emotional outpouring and down to an even deeper universal human experience that everyone can feel what you're feeling. And
right.
Yeah, that's the holy grail,
isn't it? And I'm here with Will Whalen. So we're going to hear a song from Will called Lost Limb. And this is his sort of song of the month.
Yes.
Because he's releasing a different one every month now.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. All right. Here it is. Lost Limb.
Chemical spill, just a moment gave me a soul to save or sell. Oh well, I bet my life a couple hundred thousand times. I tangled myself in a bed of lies and twine. All mine. And the last of a cigarette, learn to plot and spot. just a fraction of there to be exposed, do you suppose? I could tell you what I meant. All you'd hear is what I said. It feels like getting that lost limb. What a trial it is to be a modern mannequin. I became implicit indeed and shame the rules change and betray the spirit of my cause. Civil minds think boring thoughts, and just when I ought to keep mine on a leash, they snare me.
And that is the song Lost Limb from singer-songwriter Will Whalen, who's in the studio with us right now. Glad you're here, Will.
Glad to be here.
So do you think about moving? Because, I mean, you are so sort of driven with your music career right now. Do you think about going to Austin or L.A. or Nashville or Portland or one of these places where the, you know,
that
where
way,
all the musicians go?
I'd say that way lies madness. It's one of those things that I've seen several musicians who have huge ambitions but little research, mm-hmm. Going to these big markets and thinking, okay, I was in this small market, this small place, which to me, Grand Junction is gigantic compared to Brooksville, where I grew up for 20 years.
It's the big city to me, too.
Exactly. And it's way larger than the market that I dealt with before. And there was no live music there. So my experience has shown me that the idea that I should be working off of is building my fan base, getting popular, getting people to know who I am, where I'm at. It's all really important to have the mechanics of it down before you get to some place where you're in much greater competition with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to seeing where you go with all this.
Me too.
And I've been talking to Will Whalen, and now you're going to actually play a song for us in the studio, which I'm excited about. And this song is called Ballad of Bailey's Lounge.
Yeah, the this song is actually kind of different from my other ones. This song has easily been the most popular one at live shows, and it allows for spontaneity and improvisation. So it's a Ballad of Bailey's Lounge. This one's folkier than most of my others, but it's kind of my Alice's Restaurant, and it's all true. Back when I was just starting out, there was a bar called Bailey's Lounge on the edge of town in an airport hotel suite. I followed up on their Craigslist ad. It said, "We need music and we need it bad." So as soon as I could, I arranged for us to meet. They asked me to play, so I took my guitar and I jammed some Rolling Stones for a few at the bar. And they said, "Man, that was great. We want you here two nights a week." So Thursday and Friday from 5 to 8, I would play anything that would just get them to stay. I got a lot of love and the tips were sometimes good. Well, Tasha was the bartender Thursday night, and it wasn't long before she had started a fight. And since then, no matter what I'd play, she'd always sing. Pour 'em once, charge 'em twice. I'm not paid enough to care or enough to treat 'em nice. If I'm not here to serve the beer, they'll have to go away. So I'll bring cold food with an attitude when I finish my smoke break. Well, there was only so much about that I could do, so I just smiled and sang, and each night I used it as my home away from home for a year and a half, closer to two. I worked new songs into my shows, Mumford & Sons, Jack White, The Counting Crows, The Lumineers, The Black Keys, Nina Simone, and Cake. Well, one night the owner called me in and said, "What you're doing is great, but it's not the best. Maybe if you played something that young people are into." No, I looked at him and he was all spray tanned brown. He wore button-up shirts, halfway unbuttoned down, and his hair screamed, "I'm at least twice as old as you." So I asked him to explain to me what young people wanted from what he could see, and he told me pop country and classic rock is what I ought to play. Now, despite the fact that country nowadays makes Johnny Cash spin in his grave, I smiled and nodded and listened to what he had to say. Well, it turns out he thought all those songs were mine, from Death Cab for Cutie to an old John Prine, and I was playing too much, too new, too soon. If I wanted to stay, he wanted to find me singing the Eagles or some Neil Diamond, and he'd be back in a month or two to make sure I followed his instructions to a T. Meanwhile, Tasha sang, "Pour 'em once, charge 'em twice. I'm not paid enough to care or enough to treat 'em nice. If I'm not here to serve the beer, they'll have to go away. So I'll bring cold food with an attitude when I finish my hour-long smoke break and take out the trash and deliver some room service and vacuum the floor in the middle of Will Whalen's set." Beginning to suspect she didn't like me. Well, I kept playing songs that they couldn't place, and in a week or two, we were gonna meet face to face to have a hard discussion because a lot of what I was playing was still too new. And it was a shame, I had to admit, because more and more the regular crowd loved it. I was booking gigs and selling albums off the songs I jammed out to. Then I got a notice from the owner's daughter, Lori, who was also the manager. She said, "I'm worried you haven't heard a single word my daddy said to you." I told her I heard every word and understood every piece, and I just found out that Tasha is actually his niece. So to your Neil Diamond nepotistic antiquated tastes, and to your grungy old karaoke jukebox wastes, to those unpolished brass rails sticking out of that cracked dance floor, and to that burnt popcorn smell that hits me every time I walk through that door, and to all the advertising you lied and said you were gonna do, there is no disgrace in this for me to say. Kindly terminate my agreement with your establishment, and I wish you all of the best luck in your future business endeavors. I might have paraphrased. Well, suffice to say, the rest didn't go well. We parted ways, but I've gotta tell you, I think I got the better part of that overall deal. Well, I'm playing gigs now for 3 times as much, and I got people who travel just to see my stuff, and I never had to eat another Bailey's meal. You know, the one who still got it the worst today is Tasha. That poor thing's still the maid in her uncle's failing bar down on Horizon Drive. For years to come and years to go, she'll wipe that counter and wrap food to go, singing that song every day she's alive. 4 months, charged twice. I'm not paid enough to care or enough to treat them nice. If I'm not here to serve the beer, they'll have to go away. So I'll bring cold food with an attitude when I finish my smoke break. I'm gonna make it take all day.
That's Grand Junction musician Will Whalen. For more information about Will and to find out where he's playing locally, visit willwhalenmusic.com. That's WILLWHALEN music.com. Will has a show this Saturday at Forby's Brewery in Cedar Ridge. Thank you for tuning in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.